Thank you, Dr. Rishi, for the introduction. So let me start off with a brief introduction to sorghum and its weed control. So grain sorghum is a very important food, feed, and bioenergy crop worldwide. However, it has been seen that there has been a tremendous decline in sorghum acreage in U.S. basically during the past few decades. And when looking at the reasons behind this, it has been seen that the lack of post-emerge weed control options have been the major issue. So when looking at weed control, what comes to our mind first is the herbicides. So for sorghum, there are no broad-spectrum post-emerge weed control options available, especially to control grass weeds such as shatterkane and Johnson grass. And this most popular Roundup Ready technology is not a good option due to several factors, and one of which is the possible risk of gene flow from sorghum to the wild relatives. Therefore, farmers have to primarily depend upon pre-plant herbicides. And when looking at alternatives, in 2003, a promising source of acetolactase synthase inhibitor herbicides have been identified within a wild shatterkane population, and this is called Tailwind. So, excuse me, Dr. Rishi, is there a way to find out?
Sorry. Just use the
All right, side. Thank you so much. So, this is called Tailwind. So this genotype contains a mutated ALS gene that confers strong resistance to imidazolinone and sulfonylurea herbicides. There are two major families of ALS-resistant herbicides. So in our breeding program, what we try to do is to integrate this mutated ALS gene into our adaptive backgrounds through backcrossing. And by now, we've been able to develop thousands of ALS-resistant lines. However, the problem that we faced was when these lines become more homozygous, some of these lines tend to produce interveinal chloroses and reduce seedling vigor, as you show here, as you see here, while the other lines stayed green and normal. So from here onwards, I'll be referring to these lines as yellow genotypes and green genotypes. So even though these yellow lines turn green at the late stage of their life cycle, we still have the suspicion if this green color has any impact on the late stage performance of these plants. And supporting our idea, there are several studies that talks about the yield and biomass reduction in different crops have been basically contributed by the loss of chlorophyll content in plants. And also, there is strong evidence that this leaf chlorophyll content has a strong correlations with yield and biomass in sorghum. So with that, the objective of our study was to investigate if this early yellow phenotype had any impact on physiological and yield characteristics of these plants at the late stage. So to evaluate that, we conducted a field evaluation in Ashland Bottom in Manhattan, Kansas in 2013 cropping season. So this study included 36 ALS-resistant lines, both comprising yellow and green genotypes. And I used three checks as well for this study. So after 3 weeks of emergence, we sprayed the herbicide Axant, which is the ALS inhibitor herbicide. And to monitor the seedling chlorophyll content at early stage, we measured a SPAD using the chlorophyll meter. And to monitor the plant growth, we measured a plant height and biomass. Then at the late stage, we again measured adult plant chlorophyll content, plant height, biomass, together with three other parameters that are panicle weight, 1,000 column weight, and days to 50% flowering. And the experimental design we used was RCBD with two replicates, and we had three subsamples. And data was analyzed using SAS 9.3. So moving on to the results. So here you see the correlations between the seedling chlorophyll content and the early parameters measured. So you can see that ceiling chlorophyll content on x-axis and ceiling height and ceiling biomass on y-axis. So you can see that there has been a strong positive correlation between these parameters measured. So this implies that at early stage, the plant growth has been affected by the early chlorophyll loss that they had to undergo. So you can see that the genotypes had lesser chlorophyll content, have had lesser heights and lesser biomasses. However, when looking at the correlations between the seedling chlorophyll content and the parameters measured at the late stage, that are late height, panicle weight, and late biomass, you can see that they have resulted with a strong negative correlation in all these cases. So if I simplify these graphs, what this means is that in early stage, the genotypes that had lesser chlorophyll content had performed better at the late stage. That's why you see a higher late height, panicle weight, and late biomass at the late stage. And we saw a similar pattern of variability or the correlation between seedling chlorophyll content and the days to flowering. So this means that the genotypes that had a lesser chlorophyll content has taken a longer duration to flower, and this is something that we did not wanted to see. So anyway, for the 1,000 kernel weight, we did not see any correlations with the seedling chlorophyll content, and that may be that 1,000 kernel weight is controlled by some other genetic factors as well. And here is a summary of all the correlations that we observed in our study. So I already explained you the first row, the correlations in the first row using the graphs. So I basically need to draw your attention to the second row that has the correlations with the adult plant chlorophyll content and the parameters measured at the late stage. So you can see that all these parameters have turned positive at the late stage, implying that this early yellow phenotype recovered at the late stage. And to confirm that, we did another comparison between the early and late stage physiological performance between these yellow and green color genotypes. So on the y-axis, you see yellow and green color genotypes. That means the set of yellow color genotypes and green color genotypes that we compared. And on y-axis, you see the physiological parameters we measured. And the symbol E represents the early stage and L represents the late stage. So you can see that there has been a significant difference between the yellow and green color genotypes for all these parameters at the early stage, and they have turned non-significant at the late stage. So if you're interested in the p-values of the t-test, those are shown above the graphs. And finally, these graphs shows you the top five significant genotypes in each of the analysis of variance for each of the parameters that are adult plant chlorophyll content, 1,000 kernel weight, panicle weight, and 50 days to 50% flowering. And we saw similar pattern of distribution of genotypes for biomass and 1,000 kernel weight and height and panicle weight. So when looking at the overall picture, you can see that the green color, the yellow color genotypes have been comparable to that of the green color genotypes when looking at the late parameters that we measured. I think I couldn't explain what these colors mean. So you see yellow color bars as yellow color genotypes, and in green you see the green color genotypes, and blue bars are for the three checks that I used. And specifically, when looking at the panicle weight, you can see that almost all top genotypes that resulted in the analysis of variance have been from yellow color genotypes. So with that, we can summarize the data as early plant growth has been affected by this unusual phenotype, unusual yellow color phenotype. And most of these yellow backgrounds showed delayed flowering. However, they did not show any physiological and yield negative physiological or yield performance at the late stage. And the reduction of variability in the physiological parameters between yellow and green color genotypes attested that they have been recovered by the late stage. So in conclusion, we can say that even though this early season yellowing affected the flowering and thus maturity, however, they did not have any impact on the adult plant physiological and yield performance. Therefore, despite of this early yellow phenotype, we could use these lines as potential parents in our future breeding efforts. With that, I would like to acknowledge my major advisor, Dr. Tesfaye Tesor, and all my graduate committee members, and all the people in my sorghum breeding group at Kansas State University, and all these funding sources for their financial support. And to conclude with, this is a recently taken photograph of our field. So you can see all the grasses lying in the aisle. So we had to actually manually chop down all these weeds because we don't have any post-emerge weed control options in the non-ALS resistant lines in the field. Thank you for your attention, and I'd be happy to take any questions if you have.
So would you expect, even though this, just the, what this phenotype is doing, the yellowing, would you expect chlorosis or yellowing of like the same genotype of sorghum to correct itself and not produce yields, or produce yields as equal in the early stages? So say something else affected its early development when it's yellowing, or had yellow development when it's younger, would you expect the sorghum to correct itself and have the same amount of yields at the end?
Yeah, actually, the question is that if we correct that yellow color phenotype, if the sorghum can correct that phenotype at later stages. So actually what we are doing now is we try to develop hybrids using this yellow and green color genotypes, because it's really hard to overcome this yellow color phenotype, because it's like after 7 generations of selfing, now those plants are actually pure lines. So if we produce some hybrids by crossing yellow and green color genotypes, we could overcome this yellow color phenotype. Because we have tested it now in this season in the field, and they have given us good results. So that's how we are trying to overcome this problem.
I noticed that your yellow phenotype matured a little bit later.
Yeah.
But that didn't seem to affect your yield. I'm assuming that weather wasn't a limitation as far as the amount of heat that you had through either of your growing seasons?
Yeah, the maturity was prolonged, but that was not really significant. So that means it was about 2 or 3 weeks later than the others, so they were still able to have a good yield. Yeah.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you.